Time to get settled in for some conversation on this Friday as we send you off to the weekend. I'm Rhonda McBride. Coming up on Juno Afternoon, lust, greed, mystery, and shocking revelations. Theater in the Rough's new play, An Inspector Calls, has it all. Also, a Danish thriller and an explorer's life featured in this weekend's Nordic Film Festival. And Gems of the Sea, the theme of Nell McConaughey's Fused Glass exhibit at the Juno Artists Gallery. Lots to look forward to coming up on Juno Afternoon. In our forecast, mostly cloudy for tonight, isolated snow showers, lows in the mid-20s, east winds around 10 miles per hour. Now for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers continuing through the evening, highs in the mid-20s, light winds becoming easterly about 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Lows will remain steady tomorrow night in the mid-20s with southeast winds around 10 miles per hour. On Sunday, cloudy with a chance of snow showers, highs in the upper 20s, lows down to the lower 20s, northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Then on Monday, temperatures may start to inch up, highs expected in the lower 30s. And on Monday night, snow in the forecast through Tuesday, lows in the mid-20s, highs on Tuesday in the mid-30s, snow showers likely on Wednesday. For Saturday, the sun rises at 8:25, sets at 3:10, 6 hours, 44 minutes of daylight. The solstice countdown is on. We are 11 days away from solstice on December 21st.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Tlinedi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on what were once tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from their homes from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and the future.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kak gunish cheese.
And gunish cheese for being here with us today on this snowy Friday. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, you have another week to see J.B. Priestley's period drama, An Inspector Calls. It is a play that takes place in a wealthy family's parlor in the course of an evening, a night of shocking revelations that occur after a mysterious inspector shows up to ask about a woman who has just taken her life. There is a content warning for the play that there may be depictions of suicide and sexual assault, which could trigger some past feelings in the audience. So just that warning there. But Katie, I want to start with you. She is the director of the play, and we're also joined with Dakota Morgan, who is an actor, and Aaron Elmore, who plays the inspector. So, Katie, as the director, it's your job to bring this very sensitive content to the stage. And people are probably wondering, why such a dark play in the dark days of winter, especially as we approach the holidays?
Well, it's actually, it's a dark play, but it has hope in it. And it has, it is a modern version, really, of A Christmas Carol. And Priestley was a great fan and wrote a book, actually, about Charles Dickens. And they shared how they saw people, whether they appear as monsters or are enchanting trolls or children as children see them. And so the characters like Scrooge or Pickwick are not caricatures, but they have a fairy tale power. So it is like in A Christmas Carol, there is this figure of the inspector who is the ghost, can be seen as the ghost of past, present, and future all in one. So there's that. Like there's hope for Scrooge, there's hope also for society. And Priestley really felt that. And right now, we really feel that same thing is happening. So out of the darkness, there can be a bright light.
I am also reminded of another Christmas play, you know, which also had a suicide in it, sadly. The Jimmy Stewart movie, which everybody loved, and of course he plays this man who is, you know, on the brink of financial ruin, and he's about to kill himself, and an angel steps in and tells him about all the wonderful things that he would go on to do, and then all the terrible things that would happen if he didn't live. So it's kind of more taking that into a positive way. In this play, it sounds like the inspector brings to light all the bad things that people did. So maybe at this point you could, and we also have Aaron Elmore with us and Dakota Morgan. Either of you want to chime in about your characters and basically what the plot is in this play?
I'm always happy to say that this character is a wonderful mystery, and I'm always happy to acknowledge that I still haven't decided exactly who he is or exactly where he comes from. But that, I think, is the great fun of the whole piece in a lot of ways. You get a chance to come and see it for yourself and decide how he fits into this world. And it really is... although he's a title character, I'll say again, the great fun of this, the way Katie has built this play and the way we've approached it, is that it's really not a story about the inspector at all. It is a story about this family, but it's also a story about this young woman who has touched their lives and who's affected her life. And that's one of the great things about it. You're not really sure where you're going when you start with this. But where it ends up, as Katie says, it's a place of hope, and everybody gets a chance to see the effect they've had.
So tell us, Dakota, about the character that you play.
Yes. So it's a very challenging part. So it's very rewarding to come on night after night and run through the show and everything. Without giving too much away, I'd say he's troubled. He's fairly young. He's trying to get, his feet under him in some way. From the start of the show, we see that he is he has a problem with drinking. He's a little on the ruder side. He feels a little, probably not so comfortable around his family and everything. And yeah, there's obviously something that's bothering him that, as the play goes on, just eats at him more and more.
But he's kind of troubled in the way that he's the son of a rich guy, right? And is he trying to decide if he's going to follow in his father's footsteps of kind of being the uber capitalist, greedy?
Sure. Yeah. No. I don't think he. It's a very conflicting relationship that he has with his parents, like most families are. They're a little on the messy side, more in the not everything's black and white. I don't think he always agrees with everything that his parents say and do. But he's a part of that family. So on some sides, he only wants to really do right by everybody. But doesn't.
Well, I think a lot of us can relate to that, kind of not knowing what fork in the road we're going to take. And he's taken some forks in the road that were not too good, apparently. And there's a reckoning in this conversation. But before we hear from the play, because you've prepared two scenes for us to hear from, tell me a little bit about the woman who has died, the reason the inspector has come to the family home to inquire about this woman. What is her story?
Her story is she is one of the, her story is that she worked for the Burlings and worked for the Burling factory, which is a large manufacturing company, led a strike, which failed, and he fired her. She went on and she gets other jobs, another job, which another member of the family has something to do with her being fired and losing that employment. And then she has to go to a different kind of employment. I have to be really careful because I don't want to give the whole plot away because it is a bit of a mystery show.
But she falls on hard times, bottom line.
And she becomes one of the forgotten ones. Just as you would see happening in a Dickens novel. It happens over and over again and happens over and again, over again in Priestley's novels and plays. So she's left in a desperate situation and no one will help her. And then she makes the only choice that she feels like she has to make. And still not going to give that away either because you need to come see the play.
But I guess not to give away too much of the story, but she's got a connection with every person in that parlor that the inspector comes to see. There's something that they have done to her or something they could have done for her. They intersected. So let's hear a scene from this play. It's the opening scene. You want to set it up for us, Katie?
This is the engagement party between Burling's daughter, Sheila, and Gerald, who is Gerald Croft, who is a competing industrialist, son of a competing industrialist. So it's kind of a political alliance, even though they say it's not. And it's supposed to be a very, very happy, happy party. And then it goes sideways, like so many Thanksgiving dinners do.
You know, I've heard stories of Thanksgiving brawls and food being thrown in the air. Those things do happen. But anyway, are we ready to hear that opening scene?
We should probably give a caveat before we get into this. Of course, since it's wonderful to have Dakota here and but there's more people in this than we have actors to do it. So some of us are going to be doing different voices.
Well, that gives you more incentive to go see it, right? To really get the feel for this. So, all righty, we're ready.
You have to see the actual performers in doing this part. I will be playing parts played by two marvelous actors, Dan Wayne and Jack Scholes. And they're playing the roles of Arthur Burling and Gerald Croft. So I'll be doing both those voices. Dakota will be playing Eric Burling himself. And Katie, you're playing?
All the girls.
All the girls. Katie's playing Sheila and Sybil Burling. So it's very different creatures all around. But anyway, so we'll be doing all the voices.
All right. We're ready.
You ought to like this port, Gerald. Thank you, Edgar, sir.
Sir.
And my father prides himself on being a good judge of port. I don't pretend to know much about it.
I should think so, Gerald. I'd hate you to know all about port. It's like one of those purple-faced old men.
Yeah, I'm not a purple-faced old man.
Not yet.
But I could tell you one or two stories.
Arthur, I don't think that's really appropriate. Not with Sheila here. Nonsense, Mummy.
Oh, she's heard a lot worse.
Have you?
You know I have.
Altogether excellent dinner. You must tell cook for me, Sybil.
And you're not supposed to say such things in front of guests.
In trouble again. Well, it really was first class, Mrs. Burling.
Thank you.
I don't think Gerald is a guest, you know, not anymore.
I don't see how he can be after tonight. Oh, to take some, Mummy. It's a special occasion.
Adam?
Very well, just a little. All right, Edgar, I'll ring from the drawing room when we want coffee.
Yes, ma'am. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, I just...
he's had a drop too much.
So at this point, just sometime thereafter, the inspector shows up asking, and I guess, as you said, the party goes sideways after this. How has the reaction been from the audiences so far? Because you've been doing a lot of performances, although there are still a few more left to catch. How has that been?
It's really hard to express. I have to say again how hard it is to even talk about this play because there's so many wonderful mysteries that it's hard of it. I think all three of us have approached this radio interview terrified we're going to tip some wonderful thing for people to discover. But that said, people have received this very warmly at Juno's, stuffed with wonderful audience folks, and as a group they've stood up for us, and it's been fantastic. Very, very warm. It's not, as you mentioned, I suppose there's a sort of darkness at the end. I think as you go through any sort of darkness, just like we're all going through wintertime, there's the benefit you accrue to the end of that is to come out the other side, have experienced something, and you've also learned or it's hopefully the piece has changed you, I suppose, is what we reach for. It's very hard as artists to try to set ourselves a bar and say, this is the effect we're wanting to have on an audience. That's I think, probably the wrong way around. I think Katie's direction's been enormously generous and warm and incredibly insightful and incredibly understanding. And when you've got that combination along with some performers who are willing to take risks and willing to be vulnerable, not only with each other, but in front of an audience, you get one of those moments of theater magic that people who are fed by live theater, who have come to it and found something and come back to it, that these are the kinds of plays you'll remember for years and years to come. In fact, people say this is their favorite thing we've ever done. And that's very subjective, obviously. And favorites, recent favorites, are almost always easier to remember than older favorites. But it's incredibly powerful and incredibly beautiful.
So this is in a church, a very intimate kind of warm church with good acoustics and things like that. How is this play? Are people able to sit fairly close? I know you have COVID restrictions. People have to present proof of vaccination. There's distancing, masks. But do you get a sense that you're there in this living room by the way that the sets are struck?
Well, there's actually quite a bit of space. And we're not actually, we're in McPheeters Hall, which is not the inside the church sanctuary. If you've not been there before, McPheeters Hall is quite big, and so it has a theater. It's got a proscenium. It's got a seating platform. So we are at quite a distance from the audience. We And we've definitely made space for that. But there's still that experience of being in this. There's nothing like live theater, being in the same room, because the audience is always the fourth character. And without them, the theater experience is not complete. Because whether they are aware of it or not, we are aware of them and they are aware of us. We are aware of them as much as they, more than they think they might be. And they, their presence and how they take it affects everything. And our whole, why we do what we do is to give something rather than take something as a theater and as performers.
So Dakota, tell us a little bit about this play as far as how it's affected you personally. Do you think you've done some growing just trying to be this young man that is trying to find his way in the world?
I sure hope so. That's all we can really ask for. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that both Katie and Aaron and everybody at Theater in the Rough, that they've given me this opportunity to come and work. And the show is very important. Right now, more than anything, we're still dealing with the same issues that this play talks about and discusses and shows the connections that all of us have, whether we know it or not. We all affect each other's lives in different ways. And just to be aware of that in order to be our better selves. I will quote the inspector that we're not alone on this earth, and all of our actions, all of our decisions have impacts on other people, whether we intend to or not.
And these characters didn't necessarily know some of their impacts on some of these characters. So Aaron, set us up for the next scene. We've got about five minutes left.
Just wanted to confirm, Katie, we're on, this is the one that starts with Eric's, you know, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. So we have just learned about Eric Burling's involvement with Ava Smith, which has proved to be an enormously complicated relationship. And very impactful to him and to her. And so we're just, it's probably worth mentioning the inspector, as part of his investigation, has discovered Ava Smith's diary. So he knows some of the things that happened, but he doesn't know everything. So, it's been a great challenge for me and a wonderful fun to try to find those things that he does know and then find things that he's trying to lead people to realizations on their own. So that's part of what's going on here. And I'll just keep reading until, Katie, until you say to stop.
Why don't we get into it?
Okay, great. And Dakota, whenever you're ready.
You know, don't you?
Yes. When did you first meet the girl?
Sarah. Her name was Sarah. A few months ago, November.
Sybil, I think you should leave. You too, Sheila. I'm staying.
Where did you meet her?
You went to the palace bar, didn't you?
And why shouldn't I have been there? You know, I'm old enough to be married, for God's sake.
You should have kept your... You should have shown some self-control.
Oh, what? Like Gerald, you mean? Like all the other men in this town?
Alderman Megarty.
Like you, for all I know.
Shut your mouth.
So what, you were feeling restless, frustrated, lonely?
Yes.
So you picked her up and you went back to her place?
Yes. Only that at that moment, she seemed to change her mind.
Go on.
But I was drunk, and I had to see it through.
You were rough with her.
Yes, a little that first time.
How many times were there?
Did you think about her while you were forcing her?
I didn't mean to, not really.
while you were using her as if she were an animal thing, did you think about the implications for her life?
No.
Oh, you can put that down. That's done enough damage already.
Let him have a drink. On this occasion, let him have a drink.
How often did you see her?
As often as she let me.
Paying every time, I presume?
It wasn't like that. She listened to me. She helped me.
I'm sure she did.
I needed her. I needed her much more than she needed me.
That's the end of our excerpt.
Wow. I got hair standing up on my neck. This has got to be a powder keg play to watch. Well, before we run out of time, you got to let people know the particulars, how they can get tickets and what the times are.
You can get tickets through the Jack or through our website at theaterintheruff.org. Tickets have to be purchased in advance, so make sure that you do that. And we require proof of vaccination and wearing masks. And we play tonight through Sunday and then next weekend. And the show times are available on our website. Evenings are at 7:30 p.m. and matinees are at 2 p.m. And this is our last two weekends. So please don't miss this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience with this amazing cast.
And it sounds like you have put so much work into it and the actors. And just from this little taste of the play that we've had, so quite an accomplishment to do a work like this. And just any final words for the audience in preparing themselves to see this play? You know, can you bring teenagers to it?
This play does deal with some adult themes, so it's not really a kids one you would want to bring young children to. It's for mature audiences, just because of some of the subject matter that we touch. Just prepare to discover the mysteries along with us as we worked with it. And it's also the second play of our 30th anniversary season. 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to go out of your 30th year, really, or into your 30th year, whichever it is. But you'll have something that really will be a sign of accomplishment, a real milestone with a play like this. So I want to thank you all for being with us, Dakota Morgan and Aaron Elmore, as well as Katie, who is directing the play. It just seems like such a tour de force. So we look forward to learning more about how it's received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Shakespeare always said the play's the thing, but if it's not for you, how about a drive-in movie? When we come back, the Sons of Norway's Nordic Film Festival. We'll find out what that's all about coming up this weekend.
There's something I don't know, like where you come from. If anybody knows.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, providing Juneau with clothing for every occasion, bonfires, weddings, casual dinner parties, and more. Online at nuggetoutfitter.com or in person at the Mendenhall Mall.
Boy, a chance to do lots this weekend. You could go see a play, or you could go to the drive-in movies, courtesy of the Sons of Norway, as they have a weekend Nordic film festival. So I want to welcome Cindy Spaniards and Elfrida Nord. They are both involved with the Sons of Norway. First of all, Cindy, tell us a little bit about how we can take part in the film festival. Where is it held?
It is at the drive-in. That's off Egan Expressway and Whittier. The second, Tracy's Crab Shack is nearby. I think if you come in from outbound, you'll see the big parking lot there next to the channel.
So these films that you've got one for Saturday and one for Sunday?
Correct.
Correct.
And how did you go about choosing them? Because they're both films of Scandinavian origin, right?
They are. It's our third Nordic Film Festival. Our first one, that's a drive-in outdoors. Colette Costa was kind enough to give us about, I think at least a dozen, even 15 different films to review. And we looked at them from the point of view of what would be good from a drive-in perspective of people sitting in their cars. There were a number of lovely films, but they were just more appropriate for an indoor, small setting. The two that we chose are action-packed. The first one is Riders of Justice with Mads Mikkelsen. He is quite popular right now for those listeners who follow independent movies. He's in quite a few. This movie has received incredible reviews. It's called a dark comedy, a thriller, action-packed. The second one is Norwegian. Riders of Justice is Danish. The second one is Amundsen. And that, of course, is about the great Norwegian polar explorer who made it to both poles, the North Pole and the South Pole. That one seemed to be a good choice just in terms of it's all around a stunning movie, but also focuses on a bit of history.
So, Elfrida, you have been a longtime member of the Sons of Norway. Is this a fundraiser for some of the organization's activities?
Not really. It's an effort to provide a program in spite of COVID. So many of our activities in the Sons of Norway are people-oriented and food-oriented. And we just haven't been able to meet. So we have chosen things that will draw an audience and be outdoors.
What are some of the things that the Sons of Norway do in the community?
We do a number of things in the community. We support Ski for Light, which is a national program. We support the Nordic Ski Club, a few others.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun, too, in the process.
Right. We do, and we do if we meet and we eat.
That's always a good thing to do, to meet and eat and greet and enjoy each other's company. So what do people need to know about these two movies this weekend?
Riders of Justice, the one with Mads Mikkelsen, is on Saturday. That's at 4 o'clock. The other one, Amundsen, is also at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It's very helpful for the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater, who's partnering with us, to know in advance. It's not absolutely necessary, but it helps them organize the vehicles. Small vehicles will get parked in the front, so they have maximum visibility of the screen. Larger vehicles will be in back. If you would like to get advance tickets, go to the Gold Town Nickelodeon website, and that's goldtownnick.com. And I'll spell it out for you, goldtownnick.com. And then you can purchase your advance tickets. And again, that helps Gold Town Nickelodeon decide where everybody should park when they arrive. The weather is supposed to be really good for something like this. I mean, all things considered, it's supposed to be a little cloudy with just some snow showers and considerably warm, certainly a lot warmer than any of those polar explorations. The temperature is supposed to be above zero. So we think that's going to be absolutely perfect weather for a drive-in movie.
Well, I wonder subliminally, though, if you're watching a polar explorer, if you're going to feel cold. But boy, that is really great. I think that'll be an interesting choice because I think Alaskans can always relate to explorers.
Oh, yeah. And there is an Alaska twist to this movie as well, given the fact that Amundsen not only explored the South Pole, he reached the South Pole first before any other explorer. He was a month ahead of the British explorer Scott, and he traversed the entire Northwest Passage, where he met an Alaska woman named Bess and became engaged to her. And an actor playing her is in the movie. So there's definitely an Alaska backstory there too, which makes it more interesting. Of course, Amundsen himself was just absolutely obsessed with getting to the North Pole, and he did eventually reach the North Pole. So truly a great explorer. You really get a feel for what he and his small team had to go through in terms of the challenges. The you'll see the frost bit cheeks and toes, and you'll get to see the polar dogs. I guess they're huskies, but they're called polar dogs in the movie, and it really is stunning scenery. So I hope everyone is able to go to it. Riders of Justice will have all subtitles, but I was surprised. Amundsen had a great deal of English as well as the Norwegian. And of course, the Norwegian has subtitles. And I think everyone will be able to hear and see quite well to appreciate the dialogue.
Wow. So do either of you speak Norwegian?
Yes, I do.
So you'll be able to understand the dialogue without the subtitles.
Right. I'm a daughter of Norwegian immigrants.
Ah, well, I think this is a wonderful thing that you've put together. It sounds like to help the community get through COVID, have activities to do. So thank you, Sons of Norway, for doing this. Before we go, any last reminders for people?
No, but you're certainly welcome, since you're coming in your vehicle, to bring a great big thermos of hot coffee or hot chocolate and even all kinds of snacks. So as Elfrida said, we love to eat. So bring your own.
Ah, that sounds like fun. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that you get a really good turnout for this.
One item, and that is that this is not a documentary.
Oh, you're talking about the Amundsen movie.
The Amundsen one.
All right.
It is not a documentary.
But it's going to be really good, it sounds like it. So
it's going to be fun. It's going to be very interesting.
All right. Thank you. Cindy Spaniers, who is the director of the Sons of Norway, and Elfrida Nord, who is the financial secretary. Thanks for joining us, and we hope that the turnout is just great for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Beneath the waters of the Arctic Ocean in the spring, it's mating season for ugruk, also known as bearded seals. But as the male seal's spiraling song travels through the sea, another song can be heard as well, the song of Egvik, the bowhead whale. Bowhead whales are highly vocal and use low-frequency sounds to communicate while traveling, feeding, and socializing. During the breeding season, bowheads make long, complex, and variable songs for their mating calls. Bowheads are one of the few whales that reside almost entirely in Arctic and subarctic waters, wintering near the southern edge of the pack ice and moving north as the sea ice breaks up and recedes during spring. Bowheads are baleen whales, and they filter their food, marine invertebrates and small crustaceans, by straining huge volumes of ocean water through their baleen plates, which are like the teeth of a comb. Bowhead whales have the longest baleen plates of all whales, and they have the largest mouth of any animal on Earth. Bowheads are among the Earth's longest-lived animals. They have been documented living 130 to 170 years. One bowhead whale was aged at 211 years old. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Afternoon programming is made possible by Royal Caribbean Group, the parent company of Celebrity Cruises, Royal Caribbean International, and Silver Sea. Together with Alaskan cruise destinations, forging long-term partnerships to support community needs. More at RoyalCaribbeanGroup.com.
Well, with solstice fast approaching and the light slipping away, I don't think there's a better time than to visit the art gallery where you can bask in bright colors and get yourself in a different state of mind. And Nell McConaughey is the featured artist at the Juno Artist Gallery this month. And as part of her first Friday, her exhibit opens at 4 o'clock, just right after Juno Afternoon, conveniently. It goes to 8:30. It is called Gems of the Sea and features handcrafted jewelry and creations in glass. Lots of color and light. Well, Nell, I just have to say that I love the theme for your showing, Gems of the Sea. How did you come up with that, and how is it reflected in your work?
Well, these last couple years, I wasn't as busy as I usually am in the studio, and I had a little more time to go boating, to do a few more beach walks, to get out on the water. It was just, I realized how much I enjoy being around the water. Probably helped that I grew up in the Midwest and not so much ocean around. But I really find a lot of peace and kind of an escape in the ocean or being near the ocean. So I think a lot of us here in Southeast feel that too. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't live here. But I kind of was inspired by that. And recently, I got to go snorkeling in a very warm climate. We were in Hawaii, and my husband and I were just swimming along, and there was this blue octopus that was swimming, and it just looked so cool. And then it had like purple spots on it, and then it settled down near a sea urchin, and it changed colors to like a purplish color, totally purple. And then I dove down to it and it moved again and it turned brown. And I thought that was just so cool. So just seeing that octopus inspired me to make an octopus ornament. And that's my holiday ornament for this year. And there's a few of them here at the gallery in the show.
You know, I have to...
other mirrors. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought you were wrapping up your sentence there. You know, I have to confess that years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I bought a pair of earrings from you, and I've always wanted to meet the person that made them. And so now I'm sort of meeting you on the radio. But these were the Juno Raindrops article earrings, and they're kind of round pieces of glass with silver around them. And you're just wonderful to put these together. I'm sure tourists have them, you know, from all over that have come through and are wearing your Juno raindrops, and they go with everything. They're great. But so you do this combination of jewelry, but you also make art, fused glass and things like that. So are we going to be able to see some of that at the gallery?
Yeah, there's a good variety. Everything for the Gems of the Sea show does relate to ocean or water in some way. I've used shells and fossils, rocks from the ocean, pearls, coral. There's jellyfish and octopus. So everything kind of relates to the ocean. But yes, there's fused glass, there's mirrors, there's some etched glass panels, and there's lots of jewelry.
So I'm seeing you on Zoom. We connect with our guests these days on Zoom because of COVID, and because we don't have guests in the studio, at least until the coast is clear as far as COVID goes. But I'm seeing you on Zoom, and you appear to be in a closet with boxes behind you. So I'm guessing that you're at the art gallery right now trying to find a quiet corner.
You are correct, because the show opens in about less than 10 minutes. So, and I live out the road. I wasn't going to be able to do a Zoom meeting from there. And I thought this would be the quietest place I could find. But yes, gallery walk seems to be happening. People are starting to show up. They're coming in the gallery and the building. There's lots of people on the street. So I think it's going to be a fun night.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that the Juno Artist Gallery is a co-op, and that you all kind of share in the load of managing and also attending customers in the store. But it must be, at this time of the year, just a great place to walk into. So full of cheerfulness, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think everybody's in a festive mood now. And even with the current news, I think people are happy to be getting out and about and enjoying our community and getting in the holiday spirit.
A lot of people were really happy to see the Juno Public Market come back. Did you have a booth there?
I did, yes. It was my 21st year, and it was just as great as ever. So thanks to everybody who came out to Public Market and supported the market and the artists that come to that.
So I guess that's the beginning of some sense of normalcy. And I imagine that it's been tough for a lot of people that were used to having a lot of events to sell their jewelry, their pieces of art. Did you, in the last couple of years, see your business go down because of that?
Yes. Just like most everybody else. Yeah, I certainly have been impacted.
So what do you do when you're at the gallery and for a First Friday event? Do you get a lot of questions from people about your art?
Certainly questions, specifics about individual pieces and the inspiration in those, but also just so much of Gallery Walk or any First Friday is the socializing. And you know, we get to see people that we haven't seen in a while. So that's always a great fun part.
Yeah, and that must be hard for the artists, because they're probably used to having more discussions with people who buy their work, and also being able to answer questions. And also, you don't have easy access to art anymore as much as we did pre-COVID. That a lot of people, you got to call them up and make arrangements to meet with them. So
that's true. It's true. It's harder to have the one-on-one. And that is one of the great things about the Juno Artist Gallery, is there's always an artist on duty. So whoever's working, they create art as well. So it works for all of us. We share the load of work here. So I usually work maybe a couple days a month. But then the rest of our artists all share working in the gallery. And so we at least have still gotten that social interaction, which has been really nice.
So tell us about your display. If we walk in, because I guess when you walk in the door, usually the featured artist of the month has their display right there, in addition to their usual little corner that they have in the gallery. So what are we going to see? What can we look forward to seeing?
That's exactly right. I have a lovely display right at the entry. There's about 10 or 12 glass pieces right at the entry, as well as a nice shelving unit with a display of jewelry. Lots of pearls, because I do love the pearls, but some abalone and coral and a few other things there too. A few ornaments. Then throughout the gallery, I do have some of my like mobile 3D jellyfish that hang from the ceiling or something like that. And then I have my regular display as well that has all the other stuff that I do.
Well, you do a lot of mirrors too, don't you, and stained glass work?
Correct. Mirrors, I think I'm pretty well known for my mirrors here in Juno, where I do incorporate a lot of shells or fossils or found items in them. And so we have such wonderful treasures on our beaches that I just can't resist.
Well, for me, it would be hard to give up those treasures once they were found. So it's nice that you put them on your pieces of art to share with people. So is it hard to go back and forth between making jewelry and then doing pieces of art? Because they seem to be different things. One's worn on the body and one's placed somewhere either on a wall or a bookshelf.
You know, it's actually quite a nice thing because they are two or three or four very different processes. And someday I'm pretty dedicated. I'm in the studio 9 to 5 or later almost every weekday. And I'll get going on a project and things just aren't working right. So then I can switch gears and just go from making jewelry that's not working right to making glass, and then things work right. So being able to totally change my focus and what I'm doing, it's actually really helpful.
So it gives you a break from one to the other. But I know that you do make a lot of jewelry. And one time I was in there and somebody was looking at some of your jewelry and they wanted a specific color, and somebody went behind a desk and dug around in these big boxes, and there were dozens and dozens of pieces of jewelry. So you're very prolific, apparently, in your jewelry making.
I am pretty prolific, yes. I am very persistent, I must say. And I often have some back stock here at the gallery. So if you're out shopping and there's something you have seen before, or you're looking for something close, just ask whoever's working and they can bring out my back stock and see if we can find it. Or well, you can always call me or check my website too.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I'm just curious, what is it that you value, or what do you try to put into your jewelry to make it marketable? What is the thing that you think people want?
You know, the style I kind of prefer to go with is more simple and classic. I prefer jewelry that's not too trendy, that is something you can wear for your lifetime. So I think that's the look I go for, and it seems to work for me. And I've been able to do this for a job for over 20 years. And
goodness, 20 years.
I still love it. I love what I do. And I have some great supporters here in town. So thanks to all of you who shop at Juno Artist Gallery or come to events other places. If I could quickly mention, I'll also be at Forbidden Peak Brewing on Sunday doing a little pop-up show just from 11 to 4. That'll be a first time there, and that'll just be jewelry and small ornaments.
Okay. And what time will you be at the gallery tonight? Give us the times again.
Well, I am here now, so come on down, and we'll be open till about 8:30.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nell McConaughey, a glass artist and a longtime provider of jewelry for women everywhere. I'm sure that those teardrop earrings will show up wherever the tourists go home. Thanks, Nell. Good luck with your opening tonight.
Thanks, Rhonda. Come on down and check things out.
Thank you.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klingit and Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
And that will do it for Juno Afternoon. I want to thank everyone very much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.